It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans. We're in the 15th chapter. We're going to start reading with verse 25. So Romans chapter 15, verse 25. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341, and that's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. And then please check our website out, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there. Please, the plan of salvation is there for you to see. Look up all the verses of Scripture. Our Constitution is up on the site. And so please that you would enjoy that and get a blessing from it. Come to know the Lord Jesus and begin the walk with the Lord Jesus through the studies that we have there. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in fullness of blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And we're going to read part of 16. Not sure how far we're going to get into 16, but we'll just read a few verses and prepare for that study as well. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Kenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been succored of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now we're going to end with verse 4. We may get a little bit further than that, but we're going to stop at that point today in the reading, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy this precious study. Just guide and lead us as we search your precious word. We must know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we know your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he has died on the cross to save us, and he has sealed us unto the end. He will be kept by him, never to be lost again, never to need salvation, forgiveness of our sins again. Thank you, Father, for that precious gift of salvation. And Father, when we are faithful to come unto you and call upon your Son for salvation, you give us this precious gift of the Holy Spirit that comes to live within our hearts. And now we have one that will help and to guide and lead us through your precious word to know your way and will. So please, dear Lord, just direct us today. Help us to see your way. bring all those that do not know you as their Savior unto salvation, and those that are saved, help them to grow, get from the milk onto the meat, that they may be strengthened and have the truth and the wisdom in their heart and their lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. They desire that Paul would come unto them at Rome, and Paul wants to come to Rome, but he has something he needs to do first. And if we would back up just a little bit here and go to the 22-23 in that range of this 15th chapter, and 22 says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." He has such a desire to come and see him, and if you look at the map, you can see, as you travel across towards Spain, that of course it just comes right by Rome, and he is not going to stop and stay at Rome, was not his intention. His intention was to get on to Spain. Now, we have no record that he ever made it to Spain, but that was his desire and his goal, that that's what he would do. But he has something he needs to do first. What he needs to do first is to take care of a gift that was given to him for the poor saints that live in Jerusalem. Isn't it so sad that where Christianity should be the strongest, and that would be in Jerusalem, that those Christians had the greatest need because they faced the most persecution? The Jews chose not to follow, and still to this day, choose not to follow the Old Testament scripture that leads them down the road right to the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, his virgin birth, the crucifixion, and his burial and his resurrection. All is clearly laid out through the Old Testament, leading them every step of the way. And they have missed it. They have ignored it, and still do today. And in Paul's day, they did as well. They had rejected the gospel. They would not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and so there was great need. And that there was folks in churches in Macedonia and Achaia that had given a gift, a monetary gift, unto the Christians in Jerusalem, because many of them, if they were saved, if they come by faith to Jesus, their family would forsake them. They would be cast from their house. They would be fired from their job. They wouldn't be able to even purchase food in some cases. It was a sad, sad case in that day when a person would come by faith to Jesus. And it was worse than ever in Jerusalem, because that's where the head of the Jewish religion was based, and that's all has become is a religion. We have a relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ because he saved me. He came into my heart, and he forgave me of my sins, and he has sealed me and set me free, and it's a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. The Christians in Jerusalem experienced the same thing, but when they faced that freedom, they also faced much tribulation because they were hated and despised, and in many cases hunted down and murdered. Those that were in Jerusalem, the folks from Macedonia and Achaia, had a gift, had money, had a monetary gift for them. And in verse 27, "It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, because the gospel was brought to them." And they heard many of the folks that were saved in Macedonia and Achaia. That gospel was brought to them on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're looking about 30 years, 25 years later, But that gospel was presented on the day of Pentecost, preaching through a series right now on Stephen's message that he preached to the Sanhedrin. And so as we find that message, he is running into much opposition. And, of course, that is in Jerusalem. And so these same folks that battled Stephen and stoned Stephen to death because of the stand he was making for the Lord Jesus Christ, they earlier, just a short time before that, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the great message, and every ear that was present heard the gospel. And then these folks went home. Now, why were they in Jerusalem at Pentecost? Because that is one of the feasts that they are required as a male Jew to be in Jerusalem. And so they were to come home back to Jerusalem. And that's where they were required to do this on three of the feasts that were given. And one of them was the Feast of Pentecost. God chose to open the door of salvation by the gospel so clearly at Pentecost. And we find that was 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just 50 days later, 40 days Jesus walked upon this earth. He was seen by hundreds of people. And then he ascended and he told his disciples that you stay put. And you wait because something great is going to come. And the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, he said, I will send the Comforter. He sent the Comforter, and upon sending the Comforter, the day of Pentecost was upon them, and this is the day that God gave out the gospel to every person that was there in their own tongue. They could hear it clearly. And I'm sure some of the folks that went back to Macedonia and Achaia that were there that day, they themselves gave out the gospel, and more were saved. And so there is much love for the saints, those poor saints that are being attacked and brutally misused in Jerusalem. And so they felt like they were debtors, those in Macedonia and Achaia. And so they took up an offering to send to them. And it says, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, things that came out of Jerusalem, things come. Jesus was born a Jew. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has set out and put Paul in the responsibility of giving the gospel out to the Gentiles. And so, you know, not only had Paul made a part of being in Macedonia and Achaia, but I'm sure that there were folks that were present in Jerusalem, Jews, the day of Pentecost. So both of those come together. But they have such a desire to help these folks. And it says in the end of verse 27 that their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. In other words, we want to help them financially. And that's what they're doing. You have helped us spiritually. You have given us the birth to be a Christian, born again. You have given that to us, and so we owe you. And this is a small way that we can repay. And so here in verse 28, when therefore I have performed this, in other words, Paul was given the responsibility and the opportunity to deliver this gift unto the Jews in Jerusalem, born again Jews, those that were under great persecution. And so once again, verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain. In other words, on my way to Spain, I'm going to come by and I'm going to see you on my way, because my purpose, Paul's purpose, is to lay the foundation, and others can come and build upon the foundation. That foundation was the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And once you have come by faith to Jesus, then and only then can you begin to build. And so, please, that you know the Lord Jesus. Paul's desire was that he would take that gospel out, that you could begin to build upon that foundation of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So as Paul said that I would take this, but I'm not going to stay long because I've already, you know the gospel. You need to take the gospel out. I'm going to a field that's never heard the gospel. I'm going to Spain. That was Paul's desire in his heart. Verse 29, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I cannot wait to see you, Paul saying. It's such a joy to see a person saved, born again. But the second blessing of a pastor, the second blessing of the Apostle Paul, is that not only he gets to lead somebody to Jesus, but when he stops back by a little time later, he sees that they've loved Jesus and they are growing in the Lord Jesus and they're beginning to produce fruit. And we talk about it many times. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. What a wonderful blessing. You think about the things that this world offers. You look at the things that money can buy you. They cannot buy you love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But we are given those things through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit when we come by faith to Him and are born again and we begin to serve. Because when you begin to serve, then God begins to bless you, and He blesses you with this fruit. And I wouldn't trade that fruit for $1 billion, because to have peace, to have joy, to have the love of God, to be long-suffering, to be gentle, to be kind, wonderful. That's an individual that I want to be, and I enjoy meeting individuals of like manner. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I want to see your fruit. Now I beseech you, brethren, this is verse 30, Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You see, Paul is concerned, very concerned, that he'll be received back in Jerusalem. Number one, the Jews, the lost, they hate him. And even the Jews in Jerusalem, you see, it hasn't been so long ago that Paul, when his name was still Saul, went out to hunt Christians down and have them put to death or at least imprisoned. It hasn't been so long. And some remember that. They don't see Paul, the saved, born-again believer that has changed. They don't see him. They see the old Saul, the destroyer. And we need to pray, and Paul is asking these folks, please pray, pray for me. He's asking the church in Rome to pray that he would be received. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe. And so, you see, he's aware that there's a lot of unbelievers in Jerusalem that's out to hunt him, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Once again, as I just said, there's a concern. He's concerned for the lost, that they're going to attack him, and they're concerned that even the saved is not going to receive the gift that the folks from Macedonia and Achaia have sent with Paul to them. He has a desire and a love to give them. Paul loves the saints in Jerusalem so much, as he does those in Rome and other places. He has such a desire to help them, but he asks for the church in Rome to pray that they will receive this gift, and also the enemies of the cross will stay away. Verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, be refreshed. Please, I desire to take care of this responsibility. Look forward to that. But then I look forward to be heading for Spain and stopping in to see you. I am really looking forward to that opportunity. Please, that you pray that it happen, and it happen quickly. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. There is only one God that brings peace. Only one. and that is the God of my Bible, the Jehovah God. He is the only one. There is only one God. Now, there are many little gods. Many folks worship a lot of things. But if you want peace, and if you want joy, if you want contentment, if you want to have a sweetheart, come to Jesus today and be born again. You don't have to. You can live a life of struggle and misery, live a life only to die and go into the pits of hell, because that's your home if you have not dealt with your sin. You need to come by faith to Jesus and be born again and enjoy that peace that God has to offer. In chapter 16, he begins to thank those folks that have served with him. And then the list continues of those that are at Rome that he wants to acknowledge. And so we're going to just get started with these. And this, I commended unto you Phoebe, our sister. Phoebe, a servant of the church, which is at King Crea. And so it says that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that she assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. It's generally thought that Phoebe was a deliverer of this letter to Rome. Paul asks the Roman Christians to receive her in the Lord. There's no greater opportunity or blessing than to be received in the Lord. And also it is said that I want you to assist her in any way that you can. She is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is a faithful servant. And so whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor. And a succor is a helper. She has been my helper. She has been your helper. And so please, when she brings this letter to you, will you please accept her and please receive her with all the love of God that you have and help her in any manner that you can. And so we have verse 1 and verse 2. And then in verse 3, we find Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Priscilla and her husband Aquila worked with Paul in Corinth. And it says, my helper in Christ Jesus. Now, that is a wonderful statement, and we should be able to say that about many people that we work with in the church or work with out in the world, that they are a brother or sister in Christ, and that they have great love for Christ, and that they are not a burden that we have to help and carry all the time, but that they are helpers. And Priscilla and Aquila here are called my helpers in Christ Jesus. So they're great helpers in taking out the gospel. We find a little more about them in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. So somewhere along the line, his life was threatened, and Priscilla and Aquila stepped in and helped. We're not sure where, we're not sure how. But we find here that they laid down their own necks. They risked their life to help Paul. Now that's something special to Paul, not only as a helpers in Christ Jesus in giving the gospel out, but also they even risked their life for me, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And so not only did they lay their life down for Paul, and Paul knew that, and he thanked them for that, but also he thanks them from all the churches of the Gentiles. And Paul greets the church in their house as it moves a little further here in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So not only, once again, up in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All the churches of the Gentiles. Priscilla and Aquila must have really been a help and an aid to Paul and to the Lord Jesus Christ in giving out and furthering the gospel. And then we find that not only they were so faithful in helping Paul, but they even held church in their own house. In their own house, they held church. And so he wants to greet all those church members. And the only way you can truly be a church member is to be born again. You may attend what you call a church, and it may even say worship on the sign or in your bulletin, or you, the preacher says, you please come to our worship service. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, nor does the preacher, nor does the folks that you're attending that building and that assembly with, it is no church. Because the only way that it can be a church, the only way, is if you are born again. You must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, you believe. Please, trust in Jesus today. Call upon him today. It's more than just something that your head has decided you're going to do. It's in your heart. It is in your heart. So please, please trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not miss the Lord Jesus, because it is so important that you trust in him. So we have much here. We have Phoebe, we have Priscilla and Aquila, and we find the things that they are enjoying. And then again, greet those that are at your church, please, because I love them, I miss them. And then we have in the salute, my well-beloved, Epaphroditus, forgive me for the pronunciation, and it's believed that that's one of Paul's first converts in Asia, and a special greeting to his, and it says, well-beloved, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. So it's letting us really know there that that is the first place, that the first one was that was saved, the first fruits. That's what Paul calls his beloved when they become saved, born again. It's my first fruits. And again, Epaphroditus is his name. And so we want to get that clearly. And then we go just one step further here, and we find that from verse 6 on through verse 16, which we will attend to next time we are together, but it says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And so you see, it just continues, and then we'll start with that seventh verse next time we're together, and we're going to look at all those folks that Paul lists, and it's folks, it's dear friends that are mentioned no other place in the Scripture. These are folks that Paul loves, but it is thought that they had met Paul in his travels and now live in Rome, and so he's making a special statement here concerning them on the effect and who they are and how they have helped and the fellowship that he has had with these Christian brothers and sisters. And so we will begin, and we'll begin probably even with greet Mary and start there. And so what a study. He has a gift to bring to Jerusalem, and as soon as I finish that, then I plan to head your direction. That's what Paul had to say. Now, my dear friend, Paul gave out the gospel. We still have that wonderful commission. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?